not really in the mood to be used by you. I am not the one you should be lying to. And when you hold me close, I still can't feel you, boo. So if we separate, I'm still gonna keep it cool. But you gon' hurt my vibe, but it's gonna set you free. I'd rather be alone than have you next to me. Thinking about what's in between the thighs of another. Let's chalk it up to us being lonely in the summer. Out the back door, you got me jumping through hoops. Am I a rebound, baby, tell me the truth. Out the back door, you got me jumping through hoops. Am I a rebound, baby, tell me the truth. I said, out the back door, you got me jumping through hoops. Am I a rebound, baby, tell me the truth. Out the back door, you got me jumping through hoops. Am I a rebound, baby, tell me the truth. I'm
you're tuned in to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And I'm trying to figure out which, listen, it's been a kind of a little bit trying to figure out which mic. Ooh, I figured it out. Yeah, so if you love and listen to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, you're in for a treat. We do this every week. It's been a few weeks, but listen, as you know, there has been a lot going on. Last week it was Earth Day, and so on Earth Day we had a 24-hour broadcast that brought to you some nature sounds through a audio documentary, something that I find to be really beautiful because we don't necessarily, I would say, get the opportunity, but we definitely don't take advantage of all of the opportunities we have to just really get out and just listen and sit and kind of understand what's going on around us. And we are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish Nation's territories here live from the most western part of the Lower Mainland. And like I said, we've had a lot going on in the past few weeks. So we had yesterday was the federal election to see who was going to be leading the country for the next some time. I'm not always entirely sure how the Canadian government works. Like, there's no simple, like, at least like in the States, we have this video called, I can't remember what it's called, but it's how to make a bill. Like, you know, like how does bills work? And it kind of talks about all of the branches of government, and it's really simple cartoon. I think everybody has seen it, where it's, at least everybody in the States, where it's this little bill and it goes to Washington, and, you know, and it talks about all the branches of government and just kind of how does the law get made, and it's got a jingle to it, and you can tell that everybody's seen it, but obviously nobody has really paid attention to it. But here in Canada, there's, I don't know if there is an equivalent, and if there is an equivalent, nobody has quite showed it to me. And it's very interesting because, like, a lot of the people who I know, they say vote, but I don't necessarily, it's like I don't know if it's the same, just because I had to, like, Google kind of what were what are the differences in the parties, just because, one, we have so many parties here, and it doesn't really, I mean, I think at least when I first moved here, there was a lot of parties, and now it seems like there's only two for now. And what were the differences? Because when I moved here, people didn't like the Liberals, and people still don't necessarily like them, except for they like them more than the Conservatives. And in a way, we've kind of seen what the ramifications of that, which is Conservatives not doing so well in the election. Well, doing better than historically, but not doing well enough. And the Liberals taking it once again with Mark Carney leading. And so, like I said, and listening to their speeches is, one, so much different, you know, me as an American trying to put together like, what does it all mean for me, and what does it mean for, you know, for Canada? And one of the things that I saw is that none of those people are speaking to me. And we'll talk a little bit about that later, just because there's so much going on, especially here in Vancouver, at the Lapu-Lapu Festival on Saturday. I think it is important to make sure that, I mean, people are obviously aware, but it's, so, I mean, if you're not aware, and, like, you're listening to this radio show and this is your first time hearing it, so at the Lapu-Lapu Festival, a Filipino cultural festival on Saturday, unfortunately, there was a tragedy where a man driving an SUV ran over and killed 11 people and injured over 40 people more. It just seems to be like, if you look at the people who lost their lives, you know, major families affected by the tragedy, and countless other, you know, families, and countless other people, you know, obviously impacted by the losses of those people. And it's just, it feels like one of those senseless, I was talking with some friends yesterday who were at the festival, and it just feels, you know, while it feels like obviously a crime, it also feels like a natural disaster, like a tragedy, like something, it feels, how could it have been foreseen or avoided, or seems so senseless? And it's very tragic, and as really, you know, at least temporarily for myself, really makes me think just kind of how that type of violence can happen at any time, and how, I mean, we talk about this, we've talked about this over the years, you know, how it's important to be vigilant and to be thinking about kind of how these things can happen. But also, you know, we live our lives, you know, really at the mercy of each other. And really at the mercy of each other. And there's no way to even think about it. It's just awful. And you can't live your life, obviously, scared and avoiding these types of things, but also aware that these things are happening. And, you know, it's just one of those things where we just kind of did not imagine that it would be, you know, one, happening at all, but also happening here. And so my heart goes out to all those people who are, you know, who are impacted by that directly, but also all of us who are kind of impacted by that indirectly. And it's something that we are living about, thinking about, kind of as you move forward with your lives. So, listen, we have kind of a lot to catch up on here in the last few weeks. I'm talking to you a little bit about, you know, what's been going on in my life, but also I got some great music because in the past month I've just been listening to some. I was on a U.S. tour. I was working on a few different projects, and so I have, you know, kind of a lot of different musical feelings going through my body. And I think in honor of, and you know, just kind of in honor of the time, I'm gonna play a song that has been making me feel a little more lifted, and hopefully you too. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about more of what's going on in my life and what's going on here in Vancouver. So back it off the beaten path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. Listen, tell a friend to tell a friend to tune in to Tuesdays here at CITR. Not just here at Off the Beaten Path do we have such a great show, and we talk about lots of great things here, but from 8 to 10 we have the best hip-hop show in Canada here on CITR, playing the newest hip-hop, the newest R&B from really all over the world. And now you're tuned in with me. So, one, I find it to be a little difficult to t- talk about. I find it a little bit difficult to talk about when tragedies happen, just because I find, you know, like, who am I to say anything? You know, like, what am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to say that's new? You know, that makes people feel good or better. So I always think about that, because you can't ignore, especially something as close to us as the tragedy on Saturday. But also things that are far away. I find that, not these are linked at all, but, you know, it seems that we've come to a point, particularly as it comes to Palestine and the tragedies that has continued there for over a year and a half. And, you know, we're continuing to see footage and images come out of Palestine of decapitated babies and kids and men and women and people murdered in the street and people having bombs dropped on their tents. And it seems like a barrage that just kind of, it feels at this point that, like, if what we have seen so far hasn't stopped people and hasn't pushed people to push governments to stop, then we're just going to continue. Then it's just going to continue until the people of Palestine just cease to exist. And I find it to be, like, I find it's just, how much more can people say? How much more can people say about it? I was going to talk about, you know, because as I looked through Perplexity trying to understand what liberals and conservatives kind of, like, where they differ at, you know, it comes up talking about cancel culture and, you know, the kind of these culture wars on the right side, which is something that kind of mirrors the politics from the right in the United States, which is that so concerned with cancellation, but yet really always on the side of, you know, it seems it's always on the side that's never really gets canceled. Like, I just can't really understand, like, there's really no position that people take now that feels like it's worthy of getting, not worthy, but it'll get you canceled, except for if you are pro-Palestine. And we've seen, not just with, you know, not just at Coachella, but, you know, we've seen students, real students, get abducted and taken out of school, taken out of the country, you know, having their livelihoods impacted. We've seen professors, we've seen people. I just saw Kalani was just banned from performing at Cornell University because of her stance on Palestine. And it's like, at this point, what is going to stop? And then, so kind of that leads to my, like, next thought, which is, like, what, like, I mean, and maybe not the same, but maybe very much similar to some people, which is kind of the war in Ukraine, which is, these things happen in the world. Obviously, Ukraine is different. It's they are a country, a sovereign country that has defined borders and military power and are acknowledged by their invader as a country. But Palestine isn't even afforded that, isn't afforded kind of a singular or a just kind of any type of, I don't want to say authority to exist, or, you know, I'm not sure of the right words, but like, so it's not necessarily the same, but like, what's stopping people, anywhere, you know, kind of in any major country, from doing what they are doing in Israel, in Palestine, to kind of any marginalized people all over the world, really, but particularly in the countries in which I live in or I'm a citizen of. And it feels as if we have like been relying on the goodness of people No, we've been relying on them to just be, to be righteous and to be, and to live in ways in which, like, kind of historically, you know, these people have not. And so, like, it just feels as if, like, if we live in such an age, like a virtual age, where you can see everything in real time, and people were opposing the acts of Israel since the Nakba, since the 50s, and before we had kind of instantaneous digital images, before we had, you know, like live streaming, before we had all that, people have been talking about this for nearly 70 years, 80 years, and it's not stopping. And so, like, you know, we've seen recently here the denial of residential school, of like the tragedies of residential schools. We've seen just kind of us moving into this period where people have become less compassionate and also less understanding around kind of the impact of history on kind of the today. And my thought is always like, what happens when they start, to do that here, when they start to, I mean, it's, and I say when they start, I mean, we live in a land where we do a land acknowledgement before anything major, before like any major event, any type of, really kind of anything, we do a land acknowledgement. So understanding that we live on land that was already stolen, already dispossessed, people already murdered. And like, what's to stop that from continuing in this century? We always just think it's kind of that morals, you know, we think that like these white people have changed, and kind of evolved into, another way, or they have removed all the people which they have had, the beef with. So there's no reason to fight, because that's one of the things that I find so, for me, concerning when I listen to, the conservatives. And so, like, I definitely understand, like, I understand when people talk about their issues with kind of either party, but when I hear conservatives media speaking, it's mostly like, yesterday I listened to Pierre Poilievre speak and talking about our people, and, you know, like, referring to the people who voted for him as our people and fighting for our people, and the people, he lists all the people who are included in our people. And personally, as even though I'm not a Canadian yet, you know, it was not something that felt like it included me. And I don't necessarily believe that when the liberals speak, that they include me either. But it doesn't really feel so blatant. And so, like I said before, like, it's like, you know, we understand kind of like what people want to get back to when people talk about getting back to X. They're not talking about getting back to a time when everybody was more tolerant. You know, it's always focused on kind of the getting back to a particular demographic, a X culture, you know, that really feels not just fictitious and cartoonish, but really fetishizes this kind of past that doesn't exist, or, you know, that kind of hasn't existed for a long time, or really never probably existed. And so I don't know, I always find that to be a little troublesome. But like I was saying, you know, kind of when talking about these type of tragedies or it's kind of things that happen, I always feel like we all know what the right answer is, but I'm always, I would say, dumbfounded when I find that I'm listening to someone who thinks they have the right answer, and it's not the same, but believes it with so much conviction. Anyways, if you got some stuff you want to get off your chest, you're welcome to call in at 604-822-2487. You know, if you have so maybe you have some insight that I don't have, I would love for you to share that with me. Kind of before we jump into the kind of like, you know, what's going on in the our more global community and more music. When we get back, have you listened to a little bit of some Duran Jones? And maybe some Lewis culture. Back it off the beam path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. What a time of the year. This is probably, I don't know, this is like the part of the year where we can feel summer creeping. You know, we feel summer creeping and kind of like what that means, not necessarily just kind of the weather changing, but also the feelings. Like, I love seeing so many people out, kind of about, out and about, just really beginning to enjoy the weather. And I feel like the energy in Vancouver kind of starts to get a little bit electric, and people start to push a little bit outside, and, you know, like, just kind of like push the boundaries. I was out at the marina today, and if you don't know, listen, if you're driving over the Broad Bridge is falling apart. There are pieces of concrete that have fallen off the bottom, And so if you are running, walking, driving over the bridge, you know, I don't think you should be worried, but you should definitely be aware. You should be aware. Because, yeah, so we haven't been able to use our boats, but I saw some people down there really sneaking around the fence and, you know, just trying to make the most of their summertime. And so this isn't, you know, this is, I mean, we talk about politics here on the podcast, on the radio, but this is not always a political show. You know, sometimes we like to talk about some jokes, but this shit right here is not funny at all. One thing that I have that really grinds my gears, is private parking. When I mean private parking, I mean that there are parking companies that have been able to pay for, I don't know, leasing or rents of our streets and have bought our curbs and now rent them back to us in what I believe to be an exorbitant amount of money. One of the things, I mean, like, before we kind of go into the companies that exist here in Vancouver and kind of like, what can we do about this? Because that's one of the things that I find to be so difficult that, like, you know, whether you're conservative or liberal or NDP or the Bloc or Green or whatever, it's that, like, I find that people get so mad about the things in which we have no control over, and they then push these issues or push their frustrations up, right? Right? They push their frustrations up because you cannot reach out and touch anybody. But one of the things that I have seen, especially just kind of in my past, 9 years being here in Vancouver, is just that the constant and continued and relentless encroachment upon parking companies on our public parking spaces. So just this past year, I have a boat at the Broad Civic Marina, which used to have this big bronze plaque that talked about how it was the working man's marina that the city removed and has never put back. That is the working man's marina. They have tried to remove any memory of this because they clearly no longer believe that it's working man's marina, because they have instituted a paid parking area behind the gate in which we already pay for. The marina is one of the biggest cash cows as it comes to the city's revenues, and they continue to tax everyday people. Like, listen, there's already yacht clubs for rich people. The Where I Keep My Boat is not for rich people. Like, you look at, if you go and talk to people down there, this is just for people who like to have a recreational activity that is a boat, you know. And there's people on there with non-fancy boats. As somebody with a non-fancy boat who's also not rich, I can attest, I'm not the only not rich person down there. Lots of not rich people down there who just want to be able to enjoy the water, sailing. Once you just have the boat, it's just, anyways. Now we also have to pay for parking, which is egregious. They have also instituted paid parking in the neighborhood on the streets, kind of north of Cornwall from Kitts Beach all the way to the new developments. All of those streets are now paid parking, and they were already permit only previously, but now they are paid. And the thing for me is that, like, my taxes go to maintaining these roads. My taxes go to, repairing these roads. My taxes go to cleaning these roads. My membership fees to the Broad Civic Marina go to maintaining the docks. I know what my money does not go to. It does not go to the employees at the docks. It does not go to improvements at the docks. And it does not go to improving the roads. It doesn't go to getting us a, you know, replacing the, the dry dock at the dock. Listen, there's so many things that need to be replaced there that the money does not go to. The money goes elsewhere into the pockets of whoever owns these private companies, these private parking companies. So just kind of look like trying to understand who owns Honk Parking. Michael Back founded the company in 2013 and has over 20 years of experience in the payment industry. Honk is a cloud-based unattended parking company focused on transforming management. Blah, 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 blah. It's a bunch of bullshit. It's a parking company. How much did the city of Vancouver get from Honk to... because so parking revenues listen to this. Honk's revenue growth 512% over 3 years as of 2014. That's insane. Honk has grown almost 500%. And so that makes Honk the 81st growing company in 2024. Now, like, one of the things that I find to be so frustrating when it comes to business is that, like, I think that it's kind of been highlighted in some, I'm not sure how much American media that you watch or you take in, but, like, it's been highlighted in the fact that, like, we don't make things here in the Western Hemisphere anymore. You know, Canada is the same way. You know, we just don't make the things that we consume. And the growth, the GDP growth, the growth of businesses has come, I would say it hasn't come out of nowhere, but it doesn't come from what it feels to be like a sustainable or a, it doesn't come from like a productive place, it seems. It seems that we have a lot of businesses like Honk that have just found out how do you rent more things. And so how do you increase rents for people? That's one of the things that I have found to be so disheartening kind of about the world we live in and kind of the existence that we have is that, like, this just seems to be a constant continuation of increasing rents on regular everyday people. Listen, one of these days I'm going to become a citizen here. And in those days, and soon after that, listen, I will run for some type of city governance, municipal governments, because I want to better understand how can we decrease the rents on people. Because when I think about rent, it's not just, like, obviously we have a lot of these, like, my building is owned by somebody who doesn't live in Canada, and I'm sure my building has been paid off decades ago. So they're just making 80, 90 grand, 100 grand a month every year just off of me and the people who live in my building. And then we have people like this guy. You know, people like Michael Back, how do you feel good? For me, when I think of, like, you know, I went to business, and my entire time in business school was always, you know, always taught to think about, like, how can we be productive? How can we create efficiencies for people? How can we make it easier for people? When in reality, you should have went to business school is thinking, like, okay, where are the places in which people now experience and have something that is free, and how do we charge them for it? You know, which is a lesson that one of my classmates learned. A classmate who lives in Ohio and has opened up this studio. I won't even give the name, but it is a wellness, you know, detox studio. And I think that these things can be, like, we have commodified everything. We've commodified wellness, commodified feeling good, commodified community, commodified, you know, get togethers, commodified dinner with friends. You know, we just kind of turned everything into you know, can you pay for it? Can we find a way? Can we get people to pay for it? You know, and how can we find ways to make sure that the people who are delivering it get nothing? You know, and it's so damn disheartening to just kind of see, like, that's, if you want to start a business, that's the kind of business you have to start. And so, yeah, Honk, all these Park Mobile, listen, all of these things, sucking up the money, and where is it going? That's one of the things that I feel like people have an issue with, is that not only is everything cost more money, not everything is everything for rent. We don't own shit. We are just serfs who pay rent from place to place. You can't park without rent. You can't go to work without paying rent, because work is the only thing that you can do that won't cost you any money. And when we get back, gonna talk a little bit about some more fun stuff. Listen, I'm gonna talk about some more fun stuff, some stuff that I have been, you know, kind of working on, and some stuff that maybe you might be interested in. Here is Sweetie. Here's Kuroko with their new song, Sweetie.
Yeah.
back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. Like I said, tell a friend and tell a friend and tune in. You know, it's one of those things. I used to be, used to have so much, I don't want to say angst, but, you know, just kind of about self-promotion. It's just kind of how icky feels. But then the thing is, you listen to so, I consume so much content, so much media, and people who already have huge followings have no problem telling people to tune in. And me, you know, it's just me and you listening to it. It's just, whoever you are who is listening right now, listen, it's just me and you. It's just me and you chatting. And why not? If you like me, your friends probably like me as well. So unless you're a hater, tell them to tune in every Tuesday, 10 to 11. Do this every week. Listen, you know, it's my favorite time of the year coming up soon. We have, we got a lot going on. I watched this movie earlier today called Sleep Dealer, this Mexican independent film from 2008, which was, I thought was so, it was so interesting. I was reading this article on dreams and kind of like the, like, collective of dreams and kind of what does it mean to dream together, and kind of in it explored kind of like the philosophical question of people having kind of collective dreams, dreaming together, and what that looked like kind of in, you know, in our cultural zeitgeist, in our art, and then also kind of like in our activism and, you know, in people's just ideas. And I think it's pretty prescient as, you know, you think of like an election, or we think of like what people, you know, have opportunities to kind of like, you know, share the vision of what they want for the future. And The Sleep Dealer, this was kind of like a dystopian, I would say it felt like Severance was inspired by this movie. I want to talk too much about it because I'd love for you all to check it out. But this kind of like explores what does it look like to have migration without the migrants, like, you know, the labor from migrants without the actual people, because that is what we want here in the Western country. We want the labor, the cheap labor of people. We want, you know, the comfort of, you know, being able to exploit that labor or exploit, you know, their resources, but without the actual people. And yeah, I would encourage everybody to go check it out. It was quite good. Yeah, I thought it was a quite good movie, and just kind of like, you know, thoughtful, but also just kind of the idea of like, what is, you know, what is a dream, and how do we make sure that we are all, you know, giving space to all of our dreams, and what does that look like? And so, listen, if you're into dreams, and if you're into kind of like, you know, expanding upon what you might not be able to see or touch with your own eyes, listen, you know, maybe improv might be for you. Listen, me and my team, we perform on the third Tuesdays of every month. So this month being May 20th, at Little Mountain Gallery in Gastown at 7:30 on May 20th, marketing and calendars. Listen, you're welcome to come check it out. Listen, we're doing a show called Theraprov this upcoming Tuesday, but in a few Tuesdays. And, you know, come share your problems, come unburden yourself. And let's explore your dreams, your problems, your reality, in front of a live audience, in an improvised comedic way. What else do we have going on? You know, starting to have sailing season. So if you know, there's no way for you to really sailing is like one of those things where it's, listen, it doesn't look fun in the pictures. It doesn't even look fun in real life. It's not one of those things that you do. Oh shit. It's not one of those things that you do for fun necessarily. You do it because you feel called to the water. You feel called to the water. You know, this is like such a great time of the year. You know, started baseball season. Listen, if you want to come out and watch some men's league baseball in East Van, you're welcome to come. I'm not going to tell you the games because I get quite nervous when people come watch me play sports. Jokes. I'm just get quite embarrassed by how competitive I am. It's been such a nice. I mean, we've only had one week so far, but the weather's been nice. The atmosphere has been nice. It has been, yeah, you know, it's just kind of a nice atmosphere. Like, it was one of those things where I find it to be so important to try to make sure that that we are getting offline and that I'm getting offline and kind of being out and doing stuff and meeting people. And I feel like last year, I might have talked about this on the show, I feel like last year was my worst year of friendship. Like, if I had a Spotify Wrapped for friendship and kind of like minutes that I spent investing in friendship, it'd be way down. And so I want to change that, whether that's with new friends or, old friends, or just kind of making sure that I am maintaining those type of connections, because I feel that we have, I mean, like I said earlier, everything, you have to rent everything. You have to, nothing, you know, it's hard. And so they make it, we have kind of pushed out the hangout, you know, and in a way that has just made us a little less. And so I find that myself, you know, it's like, well, I don't want to go outside because outside is expensive. Outside is expensive, and I find that to be a big hindrance in for me making plans, just kind of like just having that type of angst about what you can, what you can't do. But this year will be better, and so this springtime, I think, is the time to kind of like, you know, let your friendships blossom and bloom. There's nothing really to that. I'm just trying to make more friends. Not that, yeah. Anyways, one not so funny story, but could have been a tragedy. A YouTuber was arrested after he dropped Diet Coke off at a restricted island, secluded island. So Indian police arrested Americans. Why does it always got to be Americans? YouTuber for visiting an island in the Indian Ocean that's restricted to outsiders. 24-year-old Mikhailo Polyavok from Scottsdale, Arizona, was arrested on March 31st after setting foot on North Sentinel Island, where he left a Diet Coke can and a coconut as an offering to the inhabitants. He visited the island, and the thing is, like, well, I feel like that we have seen, I mean, this has been something that's happened, I feel like, a year over year for the past few years. You know, white dudes going to these islands and trying to be, I don't know if it's just trying to be funny, but it's like, you know, trying to make a name for themselves. And I feel like we should start setting examples of these people. Like that one guy, he was killed by the people. And this guy, he was just arrested. Like, not trying to be funny, but a Diet Coke could definitely kill one of these people on this island. Not simply because, like, you know, it's something that they've never had before, but just the fact that, like, Diet Cokes are what is really running the marketing business. Like, if you don't know, marketing business is like 90% white women, and those white women are fueled by Diet Cokes. This is not like, if you work in marketing, it's not news to you, but if you don't work in marketing, you're trying to figure out who's buying all these Diet Cokes. I know who it is. And like, I see what it does to them. So I am quite sure that it would definitely kill one of these North Sentinel Island and people. You know, and like, if this guy would have brought a McDonald's Sprite, then we should give him the chair, because I feel like that's like what the equivalent of what that would have tasted like if you've never had anything like that. Like, it would probably feel like your mouth was in an electric chair, and so that's the same punishment that we should give this guy. I don't hear you all. I don't hear you all saying that that's not a good idea, and I don't hear you all objecting. I don't see the phone line lighting up, so I think you're on my team. And listen, when we come back, listen, I've done some thorough analysis on this 100 man versus gorilla, and you know what team Off the Beaten Path is on. We are on Team Gorilla. Listen, if I was there, it would be 99 men versus one man and a gorilla, and I promise you, me and Donkey Kong are taking those 99 men down, because I'm not fighting a fucking gorilla. But with that, it's East Aryan. I'm out. Listen, I want you to tune in next Tuesday, 8 to 11. Just set your, you know what, right now, if you're driving in your car, you're at home right now, just go ahead and bookmark CITR.ca. Set a reminder in your calendar. If you're in your car, I don't want you to just set one of your stations to 101.9 CITR. I want you to set the number one station. When your car gets in, listen, what are you listening to? What do you listen to? One of those other Kiss FM or J-Rock or whatever the hell they got going on over there? Like, unless you are a country music fan, if you're like, yeah, I like country music, but I also like some other shit, then you should stay here, CITR. But if you're like, I only listen to country music, and I just happen to be listening to your black ass right now, you know, this might be the last time you tune in here. But if it's not, listen, go ahead and set 101.9 on your digital interface or whatever, and then forget about it. You never have to think about the radio station. You know, when you're tired of listening to your same 20 songs in your Bluetooth, you want to listen to some new shit, you tune in to Off the Beaten Path. And we do this every Tuesday. See you all next Tuesday. I'm out.
Babe, you know it's been a while since